Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, publisher of Aspire Magazine, the premier digital magazine for women since 2006. Whether it's this radio show, the pages of Aspire, or the books I publish at Inspired Living Publishing, I am passionate about bringing you guests, content, and publications that inspire you to live deeper, more authentic, and inspired lives, personally and professionally, and to believe in the power of possibility. And that's what the Inspired Conversation Show is all about. It's about bringing you visionary women who really have walked the walk, right? And now through their message, whether it's a book, their brand, their offerings, they're here to change the world with their message. And that goes for today's guest as well. You know, we're all on this quest for health and happiness. And today's guest, Bella Mahia Carter's quest dragged her kicking and screaming into spiritual adulthood. Bella's anxiety and her desire to heal it holistically, even before she knew what it was, led her to face her fears, release perfectionism, surrender things beyond her control, and find validation within for her life and her work. She joins me to share her journey as well as valuable tools for navigating anxiety and cultivating joy. Bella is the author of Secrets of My Sex. Her poems, essays, articles, and short fiction have appeared in The Sun, Mind Body Green, Lilith, Literary Mama, and elsewhere. Her work has been anthologized in The Magic of Memoir, Inspiration for the Writing Journey, Grandmother's Necklace, and Writing a Way Out of the Dark, an anthology of literary acts of bravery. Carter, who studied dance at the Juilliard School, practices creative movement and writing as vehicles for personal transformation and spiritual connection. She's a writing teacher, developmental editor, and empowerment coach with a lifelong passion for creativity, health, and healing. She's a featured columnist on She Writes, and her new book, which we'll be talking about today, is called Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy. Welcome, Bella.
Thank you, Linda Joy. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I am too, and I started the introduction saying, you know, that the show is about, you know, women who have walked the walk, and now they've taken the lessons, the wisdom, and the pain of that journey, and almost it's turned it into a mission. So let's talk about that. What led you to writing this book that just spoke to my soul just when you read the title? Because I used to suffer from anxiety, so I'm dying to dive into this. What led you, what was your journey that led to where you are today?
That's a great question. When I started writing the book, all I knew was that I had something to say, and I knew that it was connected to my healing. At the time, I had chronic stomach problems, and really the doctor couldn't offer me anything except for drugs to alleviate the symptoms, but I sensed that my body was speaking to me, and I knew that it had wisdom, and I was curious about that wisdom. I also went to see a gastroenterologist, and it was a horrible experience. I describe it in the book. I waited 3 hours to see him. He breezed into the room. He wore a shirt that was open to the base of his sternum, and gold chains glittered against curly black chest hair, and he didn't even look into my eyes. He just looked into my chart and told the nurse to schedule an endoscopy, which is it's a simple outpatient procedure, but it's an invasive procedure. They put a camera down your throat, and I really felt, and he said, I won't know anything until I get a look inside. And I thought to myself, you won't know anything until you look into my eyes. And I decided, I felt very strongly that the endoscopy was not what I needed. I needed to trust these symptoms. And that night I had a dream that I was in a hospital wandering the corridors, and I was lost, and there were sick people all around me. And then I saw a gurney with a sheet over it, and I lifted the sheet, and I saw a bloody corpse, and I was so afraid, and I said, how do I get out of here? And I heard a voice say to me, wake up, that's how, wake up. And I knew when I woke up that I needed to wake up not only from that dream, but in some larger way in my life. And that this was what was going on at the beginning of this journey, when I knew I had to write and I knew I had to heal, but I really didn't know, I actually didn't know that I was writing a book about anxiety. I didn't know that until two things happened. I finished the book, and an author friend read it, and she said, you know, this book, it's really about anxiety. And I thought that was, I didn't know I'd written a book about anxiety. And then the other piece that happened was, when my publisher brought this book to the sales team, the original subtitle was A Midlife Quest for Health and Happiness. And they wanted the word anxiety in the subtitle. And so I changed it to My Journey from Anxiety to Joy. And then I noticed that I felt something, I felt very vulnerable, because it was one thing to tell people I had written a book about my journey from anxiety to joy. You know, I'm sorry, it was one thing to say to people I'd written a book about my midlife quest for health and happiness, and it was another thing to say I had written a book about my journey from anxiety to joy. And what happened while I was writing this book is that three-quarters of the way through, we had 5 family deaths in 3 years, and I was the executor of a contentious estate, and I developed an anxiety disorder. And I think at that time I realized that I had been suffering with anxiety for a long, long time, but I didn't realize it. And I had a teacher who used to say sometimes things have to come up in order to come out. And so that's what happened. And this is a rather long-winded response to your question.
No, but it gives us, it shows us, I love the backstory, because I'm a firm believer that we're all here, every one of us, is to navigate life's transitions, challenges, and struggles so that we can be teachers in some way to others. Like, I believe that's our spiritual path. So to hear your backstory, someone could be listening right now, Sam, and resonating with your backstory of, well, she listened to her body. She honored herself and didn't put a doctor, you know, above herself or her own intuition. There's so many nuggets, as you were sharing, that resonated with me in my own life path, but I know will resonate with our listeners, because it gives them permission, right? It gives them permission to... So how far back was that when you were having the stomach issues and the health issues? How far back are we going?
We're going back about 15 years. Or maybe even 18 years. I was just turning 40, and I had the chronic stomach problems. I also had, a lot. It's funny, because I adopted the raw vegan diet because I thought, okay, well, after I had that wake up dream, I thought, okay, I'm going to heal myself. But I had no idea what that looked like. So I thought to myself, well, if I'm having problems with my stomach, doesn't it make sense to think about what I'm putting into it? So I went to the bookstore and I got a stack of books on health and nutrition, and I discovered that a lot of people were healing a variety of diseases with a raw foods diet. And I thought, at first it seemed Spartan and extreme and just strange, but I kept reading and I was just so impressed with the results that people were getting health-wise. So I made that change, and it was an incredible experience. I mean, I had more energy than I'd ever had. I felt incredibly well nourished. The lines on my face started going away. I had toenail fungus that disappeared. I just started experiencing remarkable physical health. But then after some months, I realized, you know, there's still more healing that has to happen here. I still don't feel as good as I think I can feel. And so then I asked myself the question, what would a raw food diet for the mind look like? And I enrolled in a master's degree program in spiritual psychology and really got an understanding of the thinking that had been going on for a long time that, you know, sabotaged my quest for health and happiness. thoughts like, if I'm not outstanding, I don't deserve to exist. I mean, what a misunderstanding.
Yes. I can't even imagine. So when you took that, dove into the spirituality part, were you still on the raw? So the combination, you must have really experienced.
Yes.
Okay. So it was a powerful combination.
Yeah. And then, when I experienced the anxiety disorder, you know, when people started dying around me and I was suddenly responsible for my mother's estate and there was a big family fight and I was in the middle of it, that was another time when I was really suffering and the doctor, really the only thing the doctor could offer me was medication. And again, I really didn't want to take medication because I trusted the wisdom of my body. I wanted to listen to it. I wanted to be with, you know, just be with what is. And it was a very challenging time. I mean, I didn't even know that what I was dealing with was acute anxiety and that there's a correlation between anxiety and grief. I didn't know that at the time. I kept saying, why am I so anxious? And my husband, bless his heart, he's the most patient and loving man on the planet, on my planet. He just said, Bella, you know, you've been through a lot. You know, our parents have died and our siblings have died and the estate is stressful. But I kept trying to figure it out and the good news is that I've learned so much about anxiety and where it comes from and how it's created. I mean, anxiety is a normal human emotion. We all have it, but how we relate to it determines whether or not it's debilitating.
Exactly. And as someone that struggled, I had it for probably the first, I'm going to be 56, severe in my teens and 20s, probably up till early 30s. And then I would go more through episodes depending on what was going on in my life, but I never turned inward, right? So, of course, it was always reoccurring. And once I started just learning to listen and stepped on the spiritual path, it shifted everything for me. And now when it occurs, because we're human, right, and life still happens, the moment I feel it in my body, you know, for me it's in my solar plexus, it's the first place I feel it.
Me too.
Yeah, it's instant. I can notice it within moments. And I say, I just speak to it. That's my thing. I speak to it as if it's a little girl. And because really anxiety is there to speak to us and teach us and guide us. It's not there to, I have a good friend, Dr. Deborah Riebel, who has an anxiety program, and she said, it's there. Look at it. It's a spiritual gift. It's not there to hurt or torture us. It's there to guide us.
Absolutely.
And it sounds like that's what your experience has been too.
Well, it really has, and the thing that I've learned is that just because I have a thought, it doesn't make it true. In other words, I mean, when I was going through the anxiety, what I didn't realize is that our thinking creates what we're feeling, and oftentimes our behaviors come from what we're thinking and feeling. But when I was in the anxiety disorder, I might have a physical symptom, like let's say that feeling in my solar plexus, and then I would be, or maybe I would feel like I would get jittery or my heart would start beating fast. And then I would get scared of the physical symptoms. And then I would create in my mind all kinds of scenarios about, oh, I'm going to drop dead right on the spot. I have a vivid imagination. So I would start imagining, you know, the people's reactions around me. And so that would create more of the physical symptoms. So it was a cycle. It was a circle. And I didn't understand that it's just thought. It's coming from my thinking. And so now when I have a situation where I start to feel anxious, I just sort of step back and I stop and I just say, okay, there must be some anxious thinking going on right now. There's just, you know, I'm having a thought storm at the moment. And it's just going to naturally clear because I believe that we are all inside completely healthy. We all have perfect mental health within us. And so I just step back and I know that I'm going to stabilize and that there's nothing to worry about and that, you know, the universe has my back.
Oh, I live my life believing the universe has everyone's back. So
yeah.
I completely agree. When we come back from our break, I want to talk about, because there's two ways you can take the name of this book, raw, like the diet, But when I first read it, I didn't know, you know, read the title I had in Dauvinia. When I saw my journey from anxiety to joy, I also thought of it raw from the emotional point of view. So I want to talk about that, the title, and what that meaning of that word means to you when we come back from our break. And I'll be back in a moment with Bella Mahia Carter. You can learn more at bellamahiacarter.com. And that is, Mahia is M-A-H-A-Y-A. And I'll be back in a moment.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
We can all use a little more peace and joy in our lives. Don't you agree? Counselor, best-selling author, and self-nurturing expert Kelly Grimes of CultivatingPeaceAndJoy.com is passionate about empowering overwhelmed and exhausted women to live with more peace, joy, and meaning through the practice of self-nurturing. Through her experience working with individuals, speaking, providing workshops, and teaching professional and leadership development to forward-thinking organizations, Kelly knows that nurturing peace in the world begins from the inside out. That's why she created the free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app that brings you beautiful self-nurturing reminders, guided meditations, empowering practice tools, and daily prompts with an inspiring question to guide your daily self-nurturing practice. Download your free Cultivating Peace and Joy mobile app today at cultivatingpeaceandjoy.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is Bella Mahia Carter, the author of Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy. So, Bella, right before the break, I mentioned that when I first saw the title, it was like, I saw Raw before I knew about your story and the stomach and the health and all that. I was like, oh, yeah. Because anxiety can make us raw, right? Our emotions can make us raw. Is there a deeper significance to the word raw for you in this memoir?
Well, you absolutely nailed it. It is about the raw emotions. It's very, having anxiety and panic disorders is very, very scary. And even beyond that, the rawness for me has to do with I'm going to tell you a little story. So when I was in college, I had this professor, a Shakespeare professor, who used to talk about the raw versus the cooked. And in Shakespeare, the scenes that she called raw, they always took place in the forest or in some kind of natural landscape. The cooked scenes always took place in the court. And she talked about how these different locations, you know, one was a natural location, you know, God-made or universe-made, free, unfettered, and the other was man-made, cultivated, something other. And I've always carried with me those two distinctions, and I really try to live my life from that place of raw, which is divinely inspired and connected with the natural world.
That's beautiful, and it just resonates with me on such a deep level. Now, you mentioned that you've had obstacles in your life. You know, your health was one, multiple losses in a short time. But you've shared that they've also been your greatest teachers. Let's talk about that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I learned so much. I learned from this experience that I can trust my inner wisdom. And when I work with clients and students, I always direct them toward their own inner wisdom. I can say to someone, well, this worked for me, but I can't tell you for sure it'll work for you. But I can tell you, if you look within and you follow the wisdom, if you learn to differentiate signal from noise, because we all have a lot of noise in our heads, and sometimes that makes it difficult to hear what I call signal, which is divine inspiration. But once people learn how to make that distinction between signal and noise, once people really can tune in and hear the signal, that's the great gift.
Is listening, right? Because it's all the wisdom is coming from within us. We don't need to look
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's listening.
I think that's been my greatest life lesson, spiritual awakening, is I spent, as many of us do, and, you know, for listeners, if you're there right now, both Bella and I get it because we've been there. I spent the majority of my probably first 35 years looking outside myself for everything, love, happiness, self-acceptance, validation. And it wasn't till I'm a slow learner. I waited for multiple cosmic 2x4s to hit me. I never listened to the little whispers, you know, until now.
That's common.
Yeah, and I'm finding out, I used to beat myself up going, what are you doing? You're repeating the same pattern. But now I look back and say, I needed those to be the teacher I am, to fulfill the mission I have now. I see why they happen. But at that time, of course, they were difficult to move through. But when I realized that I'm done looking outside myself and then made the decision to do the inward work, everything shifted, Bella. It was like, wow, everything I need to know is within, but I have to quiet my mind, my life, not being on this little hamster wheel that everyone, we can all fall, you know, victim to.
Yes. Yes. No, I totally relate to that. I mean, while I was writing this I don't know if I mentioned this, but somewhere, you know, after the deaths happened and I was in the grips of the anxiety disorder, I had a couple of mystical experiences. I was having a Reiki session done, and toward the end of the session, I had the sensation that my body wasn't solid matter. It just felt like vibrating, like a mass of vibrating molecules, and it was a very unusual sensation, and then it felt like my pores were dilating, and the next thing I knew, I was out of my body, and then I quickly got back in. In that moment that I was out of my body, I was existing in multiple dimensions of time and space, and it was a familiar place because a few months earlier I had done this breath work session where I had a similar sensation at the end of the session where my body started to feel very light, but I had the experience of an ancient being speaking through me in a language I didn't understand. Now, I don't know if I was talking gibberish or if this was a real language, but it was absolutely, it was ancient, and I didn't understand the language, but I understood the message, and the message was, do not spend another second of your life in doubt or fear.
That's a powerful message. Powerful. And even the whole experience, I mean, I'm always open to all of that. When you came through that experience, did you have any doubt that it was real? Because I have others that have shared that, and then they convince themselves that it wasn't a real mystical experience.
Well, I got scared. Well, so I'll take them separately. With the Reiki experience, I was actually scared. It shook me up because it was such a different experience. And I actually had a client who was a psychologist, and she doesn't have a spiritual background, and she was concerned that it was a psychotic experience. But it was so clearly not a psychotic experience.
No.
I mean, I had a very clear inner knowing that what had happened was a gift. And that even though it was strange to me, I knew that this was part of a spiritual awakening that I was going through. And yeah, I mean, there's a even though sometimes I forget the message and I forget that I had those experiences, at the end of the day, I know who I am. And who I am is not my education and not the house I live in and not the man I'm married to and not my daughter and not any of the things that the society defines me by. Who I am is a spiritual being having a human experience, and I know that. And that just gives me so much comfort and freedom, because I know this isn't all there is.
No, this isn't all there is. And that had to be so liberating once you accepted and opened to it all.
Well, you know, I think it really healed me. I think that the terror that I experienced, you know, which was creating the anxiety disorder, it was because I used the word spiritual adulthood. I had come into spiritual adulthood, which is I realized two facts of life that I'd never really considered before. One is uncertainty, and the other is impermanence. And I had to make peace with both of those, and that's what I call spiritual adulthood.
I love that, spiritual adulthood. I love that phrase, because it is like maturing into it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. And it's scary. It can be terrifying. I mean, just to have people you love around you just dying, and I had the sense like, well, I'm next. I mean, I don't know when, but just to make peace with that, to make peace with death is to make peace with life.
And to give you
freedom in life.
I think you have to make peace. You can't live your life in fear of it happening, because then you're throwing your life force energy away.
Right.
You know, and it's almost like catch 22, right? So if we focus on death, then we're not really living. So then why fear death if you're not really living?
Right.
So it's like the circle, that we can put ourselves on. So, you know, I've read some of your blog posts, and part of RAR I got through, and you share very openly you're a recovering perfectionist, and I was jumping up and down going, me too, me too. So tell us about this and how others can recover too.
Well, I think the interesting thing, I think the first thing is to just recognize the moments, the specific instances where perfectionism is in the driver's seat. And perfectionism is fear and fancy clothing. I think Elizabeth Gilbert might have said that. It's what happens when we allow fear to take over. And I think just recognizing how that works in my own life was the beginning for me to sort of let go of the wheel a little bit. During the time I was writing this book, I had a dream where I'm driving my car on the freeway, and I'm about to exit, and it's a curvy off-ramp. And just as I'm entering the curve of the off-ramp, the steering wheel of my car comes off in my hands. And I realize, oh, shit, I'm going to crash. But then I discover that the car is just driving perfectly fine, and I don't have to steer. I don't have to worry about the steering. And I just knew when I woke up that that was a message for me about, you know, I don't have to grip the steering wheel of the vehicle that is my life with I don't have to grip it. You know, I can hold it lightly. I can trust. I can just slow down and trust.
And that's a big thing. It's how I live my life and how I guide my clients. That trust is, I believe, you know, one of the most critical elements to live in a authentic, inspired life, because it allows spaciousness for what is, right? And creates this energy in our lives and in within ourselves that allows things to flow. When we hold on so tightly, as I did for much of my life, I can look back now going, oh my goodness, Linda, you made things so much harder. You thought you were controlling, but really, because I believe in divine principles now, really I was shutting down the life force energy of everything trying to get to me, whether that was love, health, abundance, it didn't matter what it is. I held it down, I held it away from me because my energy was so dense from holding on so tightly to what I thought I had control of, which as you and I know is one hell of an illusion.
Exactly. And I mean, that's the thing too, is that we fight, you know, not only do we grip and resist, but we also fight. You know, that resistance is a form of fighting. And so, you know, I've just discovered, I mean, I have you know, I'm actually sitting at my altar now, which has the view of the mountains, and I have a tissue box next to me, and I have a little heart that says, reminds me of four things that are just practices that I think are very important. One is to slow down. The other is to stop fighting, and then let go and trust life. Those are the principles I live by. that came to me through a meditation, and then they came at different points in time, gradually. And I realized, oh, this is what my practice is now. I need to slow down. I need to stop fighting, let go, and trust life, and live more from love than fear. You know, when I find myself in that perfectionistic place, I'll say to myself sometimes, what would love do right now? Love would say, well, maybe I don't have to, like, serve that six-course meal to impress, you know, my mother-in-law or my father-in-law, or, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be so big. Maybe, you know, where is the joy here? How can I find some joy? Rather than, you know, trying to impress people. You know, where's the joy? The only reason to do anything, really, is for love.
Exactly. It's a whole essence of who we are. One of the things I do with my clients, because it worked for me, is I get this question a lot, as I'm sure you have from your clients, is, Linda, how do I know if the voice I'm hearing is the voice of love or the voice of fear and ego? And I always say it's really easy. If you really listen, there's two ways to decipher what aspect of yourself is speaking. And love never feels restrictive. It is expansive, joyful, liberating. It makes you believe in the possibilities of life. Where fear and ego remind you that you are less than, or makes you doubt your dreams, your fears. That's how you tell. Just ask yourself, how does this feel? And it's how I changed my life, because I didn't know how to trust my inner wisdom because I was so new on the path and I didn't trust myself. So I had to find a way that simplified all the things I was learning back then. That was in 1991 when I stepped on this path. And that was the questions I would ask myself. Oh, Lynn, here comes that funny feeling again. Now you got to have this conversation. Which one is it? It's changed my life. I now teach my I have a granddaughter who's 6 and a half and a 18-year-old grandson who just graduated high school.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. And he has struggled. He lost his mom a couple years ago, my daughter-in-law, ex-daughter-in-law. And he has struggled with anxiety and a more social anxiety. And, you know, I'm sure her loss has magnified that. But we have these conversations, and I give them little strategies like this because you and I know, especially as a child, they think it's their thoughts are their truth. It's something what you said earlier. Our thoughts are not our truth. But until someone can, especially a child, explain that and show different ways. So in your book, in Raw, do you share some of the, you know, I don't want to say rituals, some of the things that you've done to transform your life and health?
Absolutely.
Yay.
Yeah. I mean, that's really the whole book, it does that. But I've learned so much about managing or navigating anxiety since writing this book that I'm already starting to write another book. And, you know, it's so important to understand for the anxiety piece, very important to understand that our relationship to our thinking is much like how fish swim in the ocean. The fish aren't aware of the water. They're surrounded by it, but they're not really aware of the water per se because it's so much a part of their environment. And that's how it is for us as well with our thinking. Most of the time, we're not aware of our thinking. And but we can cultivate awareness around our thinking. We don't even really have to know what we're thinking that's making us anxious. If we just know that it's the thinking that's creating the anxious feelings, just even that knowledge creates a little more space and a little bit of relief. But anxiety is a very common, and more people are discovering this, anxiety is a very common stage of grief. In fact, Claire Bidwell Smith, who lost both of her parents when she was, I think, in college, she has a new book coming out called Anxiety, the Hidden Stage of Grief. And she's been, you know, sort of a grief expert and has done quite a bit of research into the relationship between anxiety and grief. And it is absolutely, I mean, I was staggered when I went around to various therapists. Nobody made the connection between grief and anxiety. And it wasn't until I read Claire's second book. Her first book was The Rules of Inheritance. Her second book was After This, What Happens When We Die, or something like that. And that was the first place I saw someone talk about the relationship between anxiety and grief, and it made so much sense to me.
Well, that's a perfect example of my grandson. You know, everything got magnified once he lost his mom, which will be 2 years in August. And when we come back from, it was a tough transition for him, so of course it magnified. We come back from our break, Bella, let's dive deeper into this because I think it's really important topic, the connection between the two. I'll be back in a moment with Bella Mahia-Carter. You can learn more at bellamahiacarter.com.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Do you feel overwhelmed and unsure about what steps to take to find peace, joy, and purpose in your life? Chris Groth is a spiritual mentor, energy healer, and best-selling author of the novel Soliloquy, a novel of healing, soul connection, and passion, and co-author of several best-selling books. Chris is passionate about helping women connect more deeply to their own truth, to promote healing, and restore balance to the body, heart, mind, and soul, so they can live a soul-connected life. Chris serves clients around the world through spiritual mentoring sessions, energy healings, and powerful custom-guided sound healing meditations that bring in the energy of crystal singing bowls. If you're ready to heal your heart, nurture your soul, and illuminate your path, schedule a complimentary virtual session with Chris today at chrisgroth.com. That's Chris with a K, and groth.com.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth radio is conscious living for your soul every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations, and with me today is Bella Mahia-Carter, author of Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy. And right before the break, we were talking about the connection between grief and anxiety and how it can easily be missed. And it's such an important connection to be aware of. So as you read your friend's book and made that connection, did it shift something immediately within you?
Well, it did, because I knew that there was nothing really wrong with me, that the feelings of anxiety were appropriate given the losses that I had experienced. And once I knew that I was okay, that, you know, this was an appropriate response, I no longer felt like I had, like it was a big mystery, like I had to try to figure it out, or even that I had to do anything. And that was a relief, because I could just step back and know that eventually I'm just going to settle. We all do. It takes time, and we have to just have faith that we're healing. And so we have to sort of lean into the discomfort a little bit and not let the discomfort itself freak us out.
Oh, exactly, because sometimes, as you know, it can freak us out.
Oh, yes. I mean, I it's just so interesting because a couple weeks ago, I launched this book. My sister came into town from Virginia, and we were at this restaurant, and a bunch of things started to go wrong. Like, I was sitting right under the AC, and I hadn't brought a sweater, and it wasn't the table. There were just things that weren't adding up to, like, this is my celebration dinner we're having at this wonderful vegan restaurant in Los Angeles. And I started to feel kind of a surge of anxiety. And in the past, if that, you know, when I was sick with anxiety, if that had happened, that would have been the beginning of an episode that triggered in, and you know, we believe it. We think it's true. We think that it has control over us. That's when it starts to escalate. So, and it actually, the anxiety dissipated within, I would say, 2 minutes of when it came on, because I understood it.
And I think it's having a conversation, and for me it was, I buried it. I didn't want to deal with my anxiety or my fears or my self-doubts many years ago. So what would I do? I'd stuff it down and go, oh, no, and, you know, get even busier so I could try to block it. Once I turned and faced it, and that's what it sounds like you did that evening, you turned, had the conversation, I notice it immediately feels heard. And I can feel it dissipate in my body. So I tell those who I, you know, come to me and say, you know, this is one of the spiritual things I'm struggling with. I'm like, would you turn away from a child? And they're like, no, of course not. And I said, then why are you turning away from your inner child that's trying to get your attention? It's like a temper tantrum. The more you ignore it, the two-year-old within you is going to stomp their feet and get worse. And that's my way of describing it and experiencing it is, I'm going to love my anxiety, my fears, and my self-doubts as if I would a 2 to 4 year old child.
Absolutely.
And it shifted it for me.
Yeah, it does. And it's funny that you mentioned that because in that time when I had the anxiety disorder, I kept feeling like my inner 2 year old was raging. And it was just like, it was saying like, I didn't sign up for this. I didn't know this about life, you know, knowing this meaning, you know, I didn't know that that this isn't going to last and that I don't have control because I think for the longest time, I didn't realize that the control that I had was an illusion.
Exactly. And I think that's the life lesson we all need to learn, right? Because I believe, depending on our childhood, about everything, how we're wired, we really believe that control, we are in control during the times that we're in that, I call that the unconscious state, right? We truly believe it.
Yeah.
And you and I know it is an illusion. And for me, it was, that was tough. Releasing that illusion was tough because you feel vulnerable. It triggers some fears. It was a big transition period for me, and it wasn't easy. I mean, I moved 20 steps forward, 15 back. Like, no, I can't do this. I can't give the divine control. I think I'm better at this. The divine's very busy, you know, and rationalized.
Exactly.
And then finally I just said, well, you know what, Linda? Your way's not working, so you better give it over.
Yeah, that's I resonate with that completely.
And so for you, what's the second book you're writing?
Well, you know, this is kind of tough because I have several projects in the works, but I feel most compelled to write about what I've learned about navigating anxiety since I finished this book. This book this brought me to another level of awareness about anxiety and anxiety as a teacher. It's not really clear. I just feel that I'm being guided to write more about anxiety.
It's one of, you know, go to Amazon, happiness and anxiety, and there's a couple others that are, you know, one of the most searched terms. And I believe with all the chaos going on in the world, anxiety is through the roof right now. Even people who never had it previously are experiencing it. And children, my goodness, children are coming up just, that's their norm from a young age because of the way the world is. So I think you're right on cue. And you know, one of my private clients, as I mentioned earlier, Dr. Deborah Riva, we just did a masterclass. I published her first book. We just did a masterclass on anxiety. She's an intuitive psychologist, and that's her specialty. So it's the spiritual aspects of anxiety. The number
that's,
of people
that's what I'm looking at. That's exactly what my degree is in spiritual psychology.
So it's a perfect match, right? So I think you're being led right on the right path.
Thank you. I feel that way, and I'm just listening. I'm just trying to pay attention, you know, to what's here, and I'm paying attention.
And as a creative, which you are, because with your background and all the writing and all of that, you know, how do you balance, you know, because I'm curious, how do you balance knowing which project to work on next, especially as a creative and a writer?
Again, you know, I have a pretty active meditation practice, and I also do a lot of journal writing and creative movement. So, you know, when I'm engaged in those practices, I feel like I really have a direct line to source. And, I mean, yeah, there are times when I'm not sure what I should be doing, but I also realize that that's okay. Like, I don't have to always know what I'm doing. I don't have to always be clear because I know that eventually it will be revealed to me. So I think part of what I'm learning is to just chill, you know, to just, like, don't worry when it's not clear. Don't worry when I have discomfort. Don't, you know, just try to let go and trust and allow. Just I know that things will become clear if they're not clear in this moment. And then I don't try to figure it out like I used to. Like, I used to have to know all the answers. I didn't know. I was just trying to figure everything out. But there are some things you can't figure out. You just have to wait. And maybe it's not time yet to know exactly what you need to be doing. Eventually, if you just trust that what you need to be doing will come to the fore, then it does.
Oh, I believe so. There are times when, because I'm a creative too, that I'll feel blocked. And in the past, I would judge myself, like, oh my God, you're not getting this done. And now I just go, oh yeah, you know, the stick would come out. And now that's where I'm at too. I'm like, oh, so this isn't the day that the invitation page is going to get written, or the blog post, or whatever it may be. And well, I shouldn't say the day. This isn't the moment it's going to get written.
Yeah.
And instead of sitting, forcing, trying to make something, I either go for a walk. Sometimes I walk away completely for that day, and I come back, and when it is right, it flows.
Exactly. I mean, I do think that it's a good thing, you know, to have like a sort of a regular writing practice if you want to write a book, or, you know, just to show up, and because, you know, rather than to just wait for inspiration.
No, you have to show up.
Have to show up. But I love what you said about how you were judging yourself, because when I was writing this book and I was going through the anxiety disorder, I stopped writing the book, or so I thought. What happened was I could no longer go into my office and go to my computer and write on the book, but I scribbled my heart out in my journal. And the funny thing is I would beat myself up because I felt like, oh, I'm not working on my book. But honestly, the anxiety was so debilitating, I could hardly leave my house. And so it was like a huge effort for me just to clean the kitchen and make a meal. And I was so harsh with myself. I was so judgmental. I was like, you know, and I mean, even those things, even making a meal or cleaning the house is a wonderful and worthy thing to do. But I was also writing my book by hand in my journal and didn't realize it until months later when I was on the other side of the disorder, and I realized, oh, wow, I actually wrote the rest of my book.
And see, so you see the self-judgment that comes in for so many of us, especially those with anxiety, right?
Yeah.
But you worked your way through, and the blessing is, look at the book that came through it.
Well, actually, and you know, I mean, there's a double blessing, because there's a blessing, look at the book that came through it, that I hope will help other people. And also, it helped heal me, writing it.
Well, yeah, in other words, your mess became your message, which is, you know, how I started this
whole... Oh, I love that.
Yes.
I love that.
I really believe that, like, that's my life. My mess became my message. I was a high school dropout, runaway, welfare mom, queen of self-sabotage. And
oh, my gosh.
And, yeah, and here I am, you know, many years later. And I look back at my life, and that's why I always say I want my listeners, readers, and everyone to believe in the power of possibility, because I'm living proof of what possibility is. The things I've overcome in my life, others can't believe, and I found my joy, right? I found my place in the world. Anything is possible, but we have to go inward. But, yeah, I always say my mess is become my message.
I love that. I'm going to quote you, Linda Joy. That's brilliant.
Quote away, but I have picked that up over years of reading, so I wish I could quote exactly who it is, but do a Google search so it gets quoted to the right person. But it's powerful. But guess what? I'm learning that every woman I've had on the show over the last 2 years, it's over 100 women. I've produced 9 summits. There's another 200 women I've interviewed. I'm passionate about getting a message out. And that's the core message, is all the spiritual messages, transformational teachers, transformational authors that are doing extraordinary work in the world, they're all doing it because their mess, their own journey, led them to their message. 95% of the women I've spoken to, they didn't, like me, didn't say, I think I'll start a spiritual magazine and book publishing company. No.
Wow.
I just followed the visions that I was given, and this all unfolded. I've never had a business plan in years. I follow divine inspiration. And I'm noticing that the new leaders, it's the same way. And that's powerful to me.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's so powerful and gives so many people hope that it does not matter. And I have a quote out there going around somewhere that says, your past does not define your future. Your current choices and actions do. And it's so true, because we carry around our past. And, you know, I just realized the time. And as we come to an end of our conversation, Bella, is there a quick piece of wisdom you would like to leave our listeners, or guidance or insight that comes from your heart?
Well, I just want to thank you for what you just said, because when I was working on, when I had the anxiety disorder, rather than embrace it, I was ashamed of it. And I thought, well, who will listen to me? I've got this anxiety. So I just really appreciate what you just said. And in terms of a segue into wisdom, I think what you just said is the wisdom that we should end with, which is that we don't know how, I guess it goes back to the obstacle is the opportunity. We may not even see it, but the obstacle is always the opportunity.
Always, in every moment. Well, thank you, Bella, for being here. Thank you for, you know, having the courage to step out, share your truth, share your message in your new book, Raw, My Journey from Anxiety to Joy. And I want to invite everyone to visit BellaMahiaCarter.com. And I'm going to spell Mahia for you, MAHAYA, and learn more about her work and to order a copy of her book. And I look forward to having you back here, everyone, every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time for more inspired conversations. You can catch us live at 2 p.m. on the Om Times Network, and we're on every podcast directory that you can think of, so you can listen at your convenience. Until next time, my friends, choose love, choose joy, and choose happiness. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.